So we're here in the Edinburgh Fringe. Well, before we start, day minus two, I think it is now, with Froda and Maria from Superbolt and Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
My first question, I think a lot of people would ask, is are you going to get sued? How did you get the rights to that?
Well, we've created our own show. It's not we're not setting up for it to be part of the Jurassic Park franchise as such. And the show is actually about a family called Park from Lyme Regis. I think we're pretty clear in the marketing and everything that this isn't Jurassic Park. It is our show, Jurassic Park, Super Bowl's Jurassic Park.
And so I'm always interested in this moment in time when an idea is formed. So I'm interested in you telling me the story of when did the idea for this come about?
Well, I suppose it happened initially because we wanted to do a blockbuster film. We thought that would be a really good challenge to do our own interpretation, our own understanding of a blockbuster film. And we all immediately warmed to the idea of being inspired by Jurassic Park, the first one, because we all loved it and it had a big impact on us growing up in the 90s, and we thought it would be a really exciting challenge, particularly because we're all Lecoq trained and we looked a lot at capturing the essence of cinema and film on stage. So it was a really big and unusual challenge for us to get our teeth into.
But there was a moment before where that idea wasn't there. So were you all sitting there brainstorming? Were you around a table? Was it on a beach somewhere in the Bahamas? Describe it to me.
No, that was us meeting up again after a few months of having been touring our last show, and then we just talked about what excites us, what stories we like, and Jurassic Park was one of the first ones that came to mind. And then in our experience as a company before, we've really felt home in playing people who are vulnerable on stage. So we love playing people who never are on stage, and we love interacting with the audience at the same time. So we went along with the concept of a family that aren't performers, but then who are forced to perform to some extent. So
that's what we went with.
Which is similar in a way to what happens in films like that, I guess. And so how do you capture the essence?
Well, it's by trying to be as inventive as possible. It's not always using a big budget or animatronics. To recreate the film would be a mistake for us because, firstly, we don't have the budget, and secondly, we can use other techniques, such as our bodies, such as the space, props used in an imaginative way, things like that, in order to give you the same feeling or evoke the same sentiments and even go beyond that into sentiments that the film kind of inspires for people of our generation. And that is by just approaching it completely differently and thinking very simply, but also ingeniously when we can.
So now we're really getting there, you Lecoq trained performers, because one of the things that I've seen in reviews over the years, particularly up here, has been when the reviewer has said better than any CGI. You know, that's what physical performance can be. So for the listeners, can you take us into your rehearsal room and let us know how you start to create that kind of movement?
Well, with that concept that we create of characters who aren't normally performing, we kind of have to find the solutions that they would find, which gives us a kind of clown play in it all, where we get away with a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't get away with if you set yourself up to, like Maria said, recreate the film. So we can let the audience fill in the gaps and the characters get away with it because they're not great at doing it in the first place. But then we do as the best we possibly can, and we have found that a lot of time people are actually impressed by what the characters end up doing.
So are there dinosaurs in this?
Absolutely, yes. But if you want to know how, you have to come see the show.
Okay, so without creating spoilers, though, so just give me a bit more detail about, you want to create dinosaur-ness in your movement, I guess. You have to capture something, don't you? So, I mean, does that involve just going crazy to start with, and a bit like putting rough paint on a canvas and then homing in? How do you actually define and then go, that's it?
Well, it's the same as when approaching any animals, I guess, if you're really focusing on the movement of a dinosaur. And so if it's just a dinosaur with our bodies, which is not necessarily how we're doing it all the time, but then I would start to look at the way dinosaurs are shown to move in the film and in other various things you can find these days that capture how dinosaurs would have moved. And you can base yourselves on that. But as Froda mentioned, we do have these characters. So it's about how these characters would deliver a dinosaur. So there are layers with this show. So it's not just a straight recreation. But absolutely, it's about studying and thinking and using different techniques to capture that.
So initially, was this really intense and serious? Or was there lots of laughter in the rehearsal room?
I think there's been laughter from the beginning. I think we've even just nervous laughter out of how to do it. But yeah, I think we've laughed a lot throughout the whole process, and we keep laughing. We find the show still hilarious to perform ourselves. So, yeah.
And what, as performers, do you like about physical performance? I mean, lots of shows up here have got all kinds of back projections and set and stuff, and you've chosen in your lives to be physical performers. What is it that has drawn you to that?
Well, physical performing really appeals to me because I think that all performing is physical. So to acknowledge the physicality and accept it as a very useful skill that can transcend different backgrounds, languages, and it is a great tool for communication is very empowering. I think all theatre is physical because even if you choose to stand still, that's a choice of what you're doing with your body. And I think just to embrace that as a means to tell stories is so beautiful to watch, and is something that you don't get in a straight realistic drama on the TV. So it's something extra that is very satisfying to watch and very, very beautiful to perform in.
And how, as for Super Bowl as a company, how have you gone beyond your training?
I think as a company, we've definitely spent a lot of time very carefully thinking about how we write things. We do call ourselves writers in the work as well. We're not afraid of working with text. Our whole show is very rich with text, and it's text that we have worked a lot on, just like we work a lot on the movement. We think they're both equal in the process, and we're not forbidding text. Yeah, in that respect, like a lot of physical theatre sometimes can say, oh no, speech, but we don't think it's necessary to forbid anything like that. They can both be beautiful ways of communicating.
So is there a script sitting somewhere that's got, you know, all kinds of writing all over it?
Well, these days it's on the computer. Yeah. There is a script we can all access, and we're constantly updating and actually always finding new lines. Even yesterday rehearsing, we're finding extra bits or just refining what we're doing. So it's a constantly evolving process, but it's very fun.
But you're going to do quite a long run here. I mean, there has to be a point at which surely you have to go, right, that's printed. You know, we can't change it now. Are you saying you do?
Well, yeah, because we're not... I mean, we can keep changing it, absolutely. And only when the audience is there and you're in that particular space, in that particular place, do you find what it is exactly you want to deliver on the night. And if one of us does find something in play that really does work and add to it, we're not afraid to build that into the text. And I think that's what's so great about theatre, really. It's so live.
So can you give us a little fly on the wall look of, say, the show's finished after day one or two here at Edinburgh, and then you guys get together. What does that look like?
Well, that's just us kind of celebrating what went well in the shows that we just did, and then we have to look at what didn't, if there were any. Sometimes if we tour internationally, there are English jokes, for example, that don't really hit home, and then we have to find something else to say. And that's a great experience for us to let the audience shape the show as well. And that's part of the reason why it's constantly evolving. It's not because we're never... ever happy with our shows, because we have a great time performing them, but we are very careful with listening to our audiences and letting them have a say in what our shows are going to be in the end of the day. And I think it's for us a piece of art, and it's never going to be finished. You can say, oh, we printed it now. If it's published, then obviously we can't edit that book all the time, but we have the freedom as performers, and in owning our own company as well, we have the freedom to change it as much as we want. It's not like many productions have this, you know, set time where the script has to be finished because the director has to know what they tell the actors and stuff. But us making our own show gives us that freedom in so many respects to change whenever we want.
So picking up from that yes, so you're a group that evolves your work and changes your practice. Here we are in a cafe, you know, with its own kind of design and so on. And some people say restaurants have got their own cuisine that's, you know, designed as well. So what words capture the cuisine of Super Bowl?
A little bit of brave, and then a dash of bold, and funny, I'd say.
Heartwarming, quirky, homemade, generous and genuine.
And so in an age also where lots of kids are going to go and see the latest Jurassic Park and won't have seen any theatre, if... let's just assume a miracle. It's raining and the parents have managed to, you know, pull the family out to a fringe show and they see that Jurassic Park's on. What What experience will that family go through when they come and see this?
You mean if they've...
Yeah, a television-addicted, film-addicted, they're going to be surprised by a bit of live performance. They've seen Jurassic Park up on the poster, and they go in, and they're not going to come out disappointed. They're going to come out delighted. So what's happened to them?
Well, I think that our shows are very universal in their appeal, and they're definitely popular shows. We've found that we've performed a lot to young people, particularly teenagers, but all ages, really, and they have a great time, and I think we engage them constantly on different levels, and we're not afraid to be entertaining and do things because they're fun, and then always obviously thinking about what the underlying tone is and giving them a lot of heart as well, but we're not afraid to be very surprising, use lots of music, use movement, use jokes, use all kinds of mediums in order to entertain and to engage them for 1 hour. We don't want them to be bored for a moment or lost. We want them to go with us on this journey and be constantly surprised. And I think that's why they can have a great time. And it's very important to us that people do have an amazing time at the theatre. Of course, be challenged and be provoked. But if they don't engage with the material at first, then it's a waste of time trying to preach to them about anything. So I think that's the most satisfying thing for us, is when young people come out of the theatre with huge smiles on their faces, and it's just wonderful.
It's an action-packed comedy, but there's no high heels in this jungle.
Final question. So as a company, you dive into this production, you immerse yourself into it. I mean, Edinburgh's very immersive for a lot of companies. And I'm going back to that picture where you were coming up with ideas for this show. Do you already have the idea for the next one, or do you finish this and then sit down together? How do you develop your onward journey as a company?
We always go around thinking of new ideas for shows, but we definitely focus on the one that we're developing until we have... I think Edinburgh tends to be the point where we feel like we've taken the show in its creation to a certain point, and then we tour it afterwards, and that's when we're kind of ready to think of creating a new show. But it depends. It depends. Sometimes touring an old show can really spark a new idea. It depends. It's very organic.
There's nothing prehistoric about this company, so go and see Jurassic Park. Thanks very much.